Friday, June 22nd, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Well, one thing the establishment is truly struggling with today is maintaining its facade of altruism, a mask they have cultivated over the years while we were dumbed down and pacified, enough so that we forgot exactly why this country was created. Or at least while we were led to believe it was created, so we no longer had to suffer under the rule of tyrannical leaders who don't answer to the people. They somehow managed to brainwash enough of a following into idealizing the seats of political power in Washington as some sort of benevolent presence that's just beyond reproach, as if to suggest that they wouldn't dare take action that was not in the best interest of the people, and saying different is akin to blasphemy. To suggest that they might wage wars for profit and control is to dishonor those they tricked into dying for them. But it seems that a lot of people today are starting to awaken from a long slumber, to see the slipping mask, to catch glimpses of the horrific face behind it. But they are working overtime to get you to put that in a partisan box. Oh, well, the evil's only on the other side, so stand with us. And sadly, many still fall for the same old tricks that got us here. The Trumps of the world, the supposed anti-establishment candidates, are just their desperate response to us seeing through the lie, even if Trump himself is unaware of it. The reality is that this government was stolen from us long ago, if it ever truly was ours to begin with, and they will quite literally do anything to keep it that way. So do not fall for the two-party sleight-of-hand trick. The evil is that which pulls both of their strings. But lucky for you, many of the stories today will help us peek a little bit further behind that mask. So the first story of the day coming from ZeroHedge.com, McCain office involved in IRS targeting scandal, pushed financial ruinous audits of 501c organizations. Internal IRS documents obtained by Judicial Watch through the Freedom of Information Act reveal that in 2013, John McCain's former staff director, Henry Koerner, pushed the Obama IRS to engage in, quote, financially ruinous audits of 501c organizations just 10 days before Obama's IRS publicly admitted to inappropriate targeting of groups with Tea Party or Patriot in their names. According to the information, Senator John McCain's former staff director and chief counsel on the Senate Homeland Security Permanent Subcommittee, Henry Koerner, urged top IRS officials, including then-director of exempt organizations Lewis Lerner, to, quote, audit so many that it becomes financially ruinous. Koerner was appointed by President Trump as special counsel for the United States Office of Special Counsel, giving us an insight behind the scenes of how these same people involved in all the same manipulative, corrupt things seem to dance from administration to administration. McCain issued a statement following the original Judicial Watch report on the 2013 meeting, decrying, quote, false reports, claiming that his office was somehow involved in IRS targeting of conservative groups. Again, really just showing you the nonsense that they will continue to come out and say, no, this didn't happen, when in fact it very clearly did happen. They're always, their requisite response to come out denying anything until it's clear that it really did happen, which we've seen time and time again from politicians in this exact same position. Deny, 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 and then finally admit it and say, here's why I denied it. I mean, it's this ongoing nonsense we see in politics today. It's disgusting, and it continues to just add to the joke about how dishonest these people are. And meanwhile, these are all the same people making all the same decisions to progress the war state of this country and ignoring everything that the people actually want. The Obama IRS scandal is bipartisan. McCain and Democrats who wanted to regulate political speech lost at the Supreme Court, so they sought to use the IRS to harass innocent Americans, quoted by Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch. Quote, the Obama IRS scandal is not over, as Judicial Watch continues to uncover smoking gun documents that raise questions about how the Obama administration weaponized the IRS, the FEC, FBI, and DOJ to target the First Amendment rights of Americans. Now, it's important to understand that this is clearly directed at what was going on during the Obama administration, because the documents they got specifically had to do this case that we've touched on in the past about how they use the IRS to target specific people, like they said, with Tea Party or Patriot in the names of their organizations, and literally used it to even to pushing for actual criminal charges unjustified, to put these people in jail to stop them from saying what they were saying. This is how this all played out. But clearly we saw, you know, whether this was an act of guilt by the Obama administration or they chose to admit it, clearly because this stuff was coming out anyway. But the point here now is to show that John McCain and his office was very clearly tied up in this. Once again, showing us that all of these efforts completely transcend this nonsensical two-party lie. It goes well beyond that. It comes to quelling specific speech, anti-establishment speech, typically directed at the war state, the war machine, trying to point out what's really going on. But what we have to take away from this is that weaponizing the IRS, the FEC, the FBI, the DOJ continues to this day. Moving on to the next story coming from the RonPaulInstitute.org, U.S. State Department concerned over Syrian government operations in Syria. State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert released a statement today warning the Syrian government to cease and desist from its final military push against ISIS and Al-Qaeda in southwest Syria. The statement says, quote, the United States is deeply troubled by reports of increasing Syrian regime operations in southwest Syria. Because such operations are within the de-escalation zone negotiated between the United States, Jordan, and the Russian Federation last year and reaffirmed between Presidents Trump and Putin in Dianang, Vietnam in November. So the United States, which illegally occupies territory of a country nearly 6,000 miles away, is warning Syria, the country it partly occupies, not to conduct military operations against terrorist organizations within its own borders. We have to see the absurdity of this and how this de-escalation only seems to apply when Syria wants to attack ISIS. Pretty revealing. As the author notes, aside from the absurdity of Nauert's press release, there is the important matter that the whole statement is a lie. First, the deconfliction zone to which he refers has been unilaterally declared by the United States. Syria never agreed to cease military operations within its own borders, suggesting that Damascus is violating some agreement when it was never party to the agreement is shockingly dishonest. Not much of a surprise there, coming from the very woman representing the very government that very recently denied that they were even civilians in occupied Palestine, in Gaza, which is pretty absurd that they would refuse to note on the fact that actual people, real civilians, were dying on a regular basis. Pretty dishonest all the way around. Second, even the de-escalation zones agreed between Russia, Iran, and Turkey in Astana, Kazakhstan in May 2017 exempted UN-recognized terrorist groups from the deal. So even if Syria was a party to the U.S.-claimed de-escalation agreement, its current advance on ISIS and Al-Qaeda, those very groups, in their controlled territory would not be a violation. Very interesting. So it's funny how the facts just never seem to play into these claims, because they're expecting the average person that they're preaching this to, the Americans that are they're manufacturing consent for all of this from, are just they're assuming they're not going to actually do their research and realize that the very agreement they're pointing to did not include the people that they're supposedly fighting against, or rather they are very clearly fighting against, but the Americans are supposedly fighting against, but very clearly protecting in all of this. It's glaringly obvious when you understand what's really going on. And it says, in third, the State Department's claims on the Dianang agreement between Presidents Putin and Trump are purposely misleading, as usual. The very first sentence of the Dianang statement affirms the two leaders' determination to defeat ISIS in Syria, demonstrating the high priority placed on fighting ongoing terrorist occupation of parts of Syria. So why now, 7 months later, is the U.S. warning Syria against completing the very task that Putin and Trump made it a top priority? It's just ridiculously hypocritical. We have to see how ridiculous it is for them to be telling him not to attack the very group they made an agreement to annihilate. It's just laughable. I don't understand how this stuff is not so obvious to everybody else. The Dianang statement also made it clear when it comes to Syrian territory that the country's sovereignty must be respected, which is just an absurd joke, that the fact that they're currently occupying their sovereign territory while claiming that the goal is to protect their sovereign territory. They contradict each other. The reality is that they are, one, trying to overthrow Assad's government, which has been the goal from the very beginning, documentably, verifiably so, and protect their proxy army, which is ISIS, the ones that they have funded, armed, created to carry this kind of an agenda out. It's all there for you to look. All the information, some of which I'll have in the show notes, is all right there. That's that peek behind the mask I'm talking about. The real hideous entity that's carrying out these just atrocious acts under the guise of helping people. Very clear here. Let's move on to the next story. Coming from mintpressnews.com, Saudi Arabia and Houthis delay vital aid to Yemen, according to Amnesty International. The U.S.-backed Saudi-led coalition and the Houthi armed groups in Yemen are hampering the delivery of aid to Yemen, according to a new briefing released by Amnesty International. Amnesty International carried out research between December 2017 and June 2018, and it found that both the Saudi-led coalition and the Houthi armed groups are blocking aid organizations from delivering relief promptly in Yemen. According to the briefing, quote, despite the coalition's announcement on the 22nd of November, that it had lifted its blockade of the ports, the U.S.-backed Saudi-led coalition has continued to obstruct the delivery of essential goods and humanitarian aid, which is clearly malicious. It's clearly designed to hurt the civilian population. And as I've continued to point out, we have to understand that this entire thing is completely supported by the U.S. government. It continues saying, it has ignored the Security Council's calls for the full and sustained opening of all Yemen's ports, including Hodeidah and Salif, and its statements about the importance of keeping these functioning and open to all commercial and humanitarian imports, including food, fuel, and medical imports. Amnesty International discovered that some aid organizations were even forced to pay their way through Yemen in bribery to the Houthis, which violates the armed group's obligations under international humanitarian law. Not like they've ever made any kind of effort to follow international law or humanitarian law, but the point here is that they are taking active steps to maintain and further the suffering in regard to starvation, in regard to the cholera outbreaks. Then we talked about bombing of hospitals, new clinics put specifically there, and they were told about them to help the cholera epidemic, and they bombed them. I mean, very clearly taking efforts, bombing airports so other aid can't come in. This all ties back to the concept of continuing to make the civilian population suffer, just as I recently talked about with Vanessa Beale, in order to either make them revolt against their own government or make the government suffer and the entire country suffer so much that the government just gives in to Western imperialism. It's despicable. And we've seen this played out many, many times in many different countries all around the world for decades. And this is just yet another example. Moving on to the next story coming from mintpressnews.com, U.S. government boasts of laying groundwork for insurrection in Nicaragua. So while we have the obvious efforts being carried out in Syria, in Yemen, and the efforts trying to be made in Iran to create the same kind of color revolution revolt to cause unrest so that they can pretend to come in to help the people, we're seeing the very same thing begin to kick off in Nicaragua, where reports are coming out of people continuing to die during these orchestrated protests. And I shouldn't have to point out to my regular listeners that this is something we've talked about many times, of Mike Pence and Nikki Haley openly calling out for regime change in Nicaragua more than once. So we're supposed to believe that, oh, this is just a natural uprising of the people fighting against an oppressive government. Very clearly not. And now this article goes into talk about how the U.S., the government itself, has openly discussed and boast about laying groundwork for exactly the kind of insurrection that we're seeing take place. Very revealing. So in early June, Nicaragua's leading young activists went to a junket in Washington, D.C. on the dime of the U.S. government-funded right-wing advocacy group Freedom House. The Nicaraguan student leaders were there to beseech Donald Trump and other right-wing U.S. government officials to help them in their fight against Nicaraguan President Daniel Ortega. On the excursion to the U.S. Capitol, young activists posed for photo ops with some of the most notorious neoconservatives in the U.S. Congress, such as Senators Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio. The Nicaraguan student leaders were also shepherded to meetings with top officials from the State Department and U.S. government soft power organization USAID. And we've talked about these non-governmental organizations, supposedly non-governmental, even though they get direct funding from the government in many cases, and how they're used as essentially Trojan horses to carry out the exact kind of regime change efforts we are talking about today, or at the very least foment the kind of unrest in specific groups that are part of the entire ploy to be able to pretend like they have to rush in to save the people, even though their efforts never seem to actually save the people. James Corbett has done excellent work on this. I'll be sure to include some articles and links in the show notes there, but it's very clear how these things carried out, and also how many governments that are labeled enemies because of these actions tend to kick these non-governmental organizations out of their country because they recognize that this is exactly what they're there for, which is not to suggest that they don't do any good. Some of these places and people involved actually do help people. But at the end of the day, the real point is to have an in to these countries, supposedly non-governmental, so places like the State Department and the CIA can get involved and manipulate the country from within under the guise of helping people. The same trope that we always hear. And while the Nicaraguan student leaders were meeting with the State Department and organizations like USAID, they were reassured that they had Washington's full-throated support, as if we need any more examples of how they're clearly taking one side of the argument. As they continue to feign that they're all about promoting democracy while doing the exact opposite. The month before the student protesters' meetings with ultra-conservative lawmakers in Washington, a publication funded by the U.S. government's regime change arm, the National Endowment for Democracy, it bluntly asserted that organizations backed by the NED have spent years and millions of dollars, quote, laying the groundwork for insurrection in Nicaragua. Another NGO blatantly pointing out, a government-funded NGO blatantly pointing out that they have actively worked toward insurrection in Nicaragua. I mean, blatant, clearly, openly saying it as if it's some kind of a badge on their shirt, that they're continuing to cause this kind of unrest. But then we're supposed to believe that what we're seeing now is not due to their actions? I mean, I don't know how people weigh these two things. These protests at this point, I mean, it's impossible to see it as anything other than it is a very carefully staged plot back to the hilt by Washington. I mean, there's really no other way to see it when you understand all of the information. The NED is a leading agent of U.S. soft power that has meddled in many other countries' affairs since its founding at the height of the Cold War in 1983. And by his own admission, showing how overtly most of these operations are carried out today and how entirely the simple lack of reporting or lack of honest reporting on these events by mainstream media can literally conceal the admitted truth, Alan Weinstein, a founder of the NED, commented in 1991 that, quote, a lot of what we do today was done covertly 25 years ago by the CIA. Again, just laying it right out there. We are carrying out regime change at the behest of the government. The supposed National Endowment for Democracy and its partners have helped swing elections for right-wing neoliberal candidates in Russia and Mongolia in 1996, fomented a coup that drove Haiti's democratically elected president from power, and directed millions towards dismantling Venezuela's socialist government, an ongoing effort complemented by crushing U.S. sanctions. Something that Abby Martin has done amazing work on that I recommend you check out, but really showing you how this has been carried out under the guise of, you know, always saying, oh, look at the socialist government's not working as they cripple it with sanctions and foment unrest at every possible turn from within the country. Just incredibly hypocritical. Now, the NED has spent $4.1 million in the country of Nicaragua since 2014, helping grow 54 groups into major players in the political scene and, quote, laying the groundwork for insurrection, as we recently pointed out. Since the unrest began, the NED has taken measures to conceal the names of the groups it funds in Nicaragua on the grounds that they could face reprisals from the government. But the main recipients of backing from Washington are already well known within the country. Moving on to the next story, and the final story of the day coming from the freethoughtproject.com, border agent arrested for massive cache of child porn hired by immigrant shelter to work with kids. A Border Patrol agent who was arrested on child pornography charges was given direct access to children when he was later hired by an immigration shelter after the fact. Ernesto Padron worked as a United States Border Patrol agent for 13 years, up until he was arrested on second-degree felony charges for possession and promotion of child pornography. Padron first landed on the FBI's radar in 2018 when he engaged in a conversation with an undercover agent in an online chat room. He was eventually arrested by the Cameron County Sheriff's Department and charged in 2010, and he immediately resigned from Border Patrol. The case never went to trial, however, and the charges against Padron were eventually dropped, not because he was charged in an error, but because an ongoing case backlog allowed the statute of limitations to expire, a backlog which is still ongoing to this day, by the way. So it's very important to understand that point before we move forward, that he was very clearly caught in the act. They caught him online. They caught him with information, or rather with files and whatever. He very clearly was charged with possession of child pornography, promotion of child pornography, and simply because of a backlog of cases, which is horrifying to think about. These people are getting away with this and still are to this very day. So this man who resigned in disgrace because he was caught got away with it. That's important to realize there. He's very, very guilty here. Now, the district attorney of Cameron County at the time, Armando Villalobos, was later convicted of favoritism, improper influence, personal self-enrichment, self-dealing, concealment, and conflict of interest for his role in a racketeering scheme involving bribery and extortion, and he was sentenced to 13 years in prison in 2014. So we have to ask ourselves whether or not he played a role in allowing this person to get away, or rather creating the backlog, or not allowing them to be, doing whatever he could behind the scenes to help out the people he supported. Interesting there. And we have to, we can discuss the prevalence of these kind of acts within positions of power and whether there's a larger thing at play here, not allowing these cases to be actually seen to fruition. Very revealing here. But he's serving 13 years in prison for favoritism is one of the many things there. So we have to think of how that applies to this guy and how he got away with this. Now, even though Perdon's case was dismissed, his record is still publicly available. And the fact that he was ever charged and found in possession of child pornography should have raised major red flags when he applied to work for the nonprofit organization Southwest Key. He was hired anyway, and Texas Monthly reported that in his role as a case manager, he had direct access to unaccompanied immigrant minors, which is horrifying. But we have to take a moment and remember this name. Southwest Key Nonprofit. That's the very same organization which just so happened to call the police on the U.S. Senator Merkley for simply trying to access the federal facility. Think about that. When we talked about that back then, right around the same time as the whole Tucson concept, there was something very, very suspicious about the way that went down. The simple fact that a U.S. senator is denied access to a federal building, even when he called and discussed that he was coming. And I mean, there's a lot of very fishy stuff going on there. The way they handled it, that they called the police, the windows are all blacked out in this old suspicious Walmart that Snopes still says is a conspiracy theory. Very, very revealing. So Southwest Key knowingly hires a pedophile, a man who was convicted, or rather charged, failed to get convicted because of a backlog of cases, and they hired him anyway. And this is the same company that won't allow senators to look inside their buildings? Something is off with this company, Southwest Key, and I knew it when I first saw it there. But we need to dig more into this and find out what's going on with them, because there is clearly some kind of a weird connection here. Now, Perdon worked at the Casa Padre shelter in Brownsville, which currently houses more than 1,500 boys between the ages of 10 and 17 years old. Although it's unclear whether he abused or assaulted any of the young children during his employment, there have been a number of reports of child abuse in immigrant shelters across the country, which has increased speculation of the employees who are hired by these shelters. We recently talked about another article from the Free Thought Project about these kids being forcefully injected with medications. I mean, there's an abuse and all kinds of different things going on here. This is something that's not a surprise. This shouldn't be shocking to us at all. We've talked about the kids missing, and I mean, there's any number of cases here that apply to how horrifying this whole story should be. Southwest Key has attempted to defend his decision to hire Perdon by claiming that the fact that he was never convicted of possessing child pornography made him eligible for employment. In a statement to Texas Monthly, Southwest Key spokesman Lizzie Chen said, quote, "In our hiring, extensive background checks are conducted on applicants. However, because Mr. Perdon was not convicted of the charges you referenced or any other disqualifying criminal charges, he was cleared for employment." So they were point there where they were fully aware of this when they hired him, very clearly accessed the fact that he was charged with this. And you could clearly also see that it wasn't that he was dismissed. It was due to a backlog of cases. So very interesting to see how that played out, that they're willing to hire someone like that at a place that strictly works with immigrant children. However, Chen noted that the organization was eventually alerted to Padron's history in 2017, and he was suspended temporarily before he was fired, along with nearly 1,000 other employees. That's horrifying. It says, quote, "When we became aware of Mr. Padron's situation, he was immediately suspended, and he never worked at our shelter again." So do you realize, do you hear the contradiction there? So they're clearly saying that they were aware of it when they hired him, because they did background checks, but because he was not convicted, it was okay. Then they claim that they were alerted to that same thing, and that's why they fired him. I mean, how do people not pick up on these obvious, they clearly are contradicting themselves there. They're covering their own ass. And then saying that they fired 1,000 other employees along right in the same vein there, does that mean it's for the same thing? There's a lot of really disgusting and horrifying things going on here that are not being addressed. I mean, I'm clearly focusing on the sexual abuse aspect because that's a very big deal. We've talked about the over 1,500 immigrant children that just went missing in the U.S. system. And a lot of them, they found out, went right into sex trafficking. That's verified by the U.S.'s own statements. And now we're seeing this kind of thing happen where it's just getting, it's a side note in the larger story. That's horrifying to me. And I think this is something that I would argue maybe even the entire point of why this is being sidetracked to another aspect while we're missing the bigger picture. Very interesting. I mean, that's really the takeaway point for me there is, you know, when we're looking at all of these issues, all the stuff we talked about today, it's important to make a conscious effort not to get pulled into the partisan debate around them. And more importantly, to stand back and look at the larger picture. For instance, within this immigration discussion, if we see past the divide and conquer tactics of mainstream media, we begin to see a much more sinister network of missing children, sexual misconduct, and human trafficking that connects all the way back to some very high government entities. But while we focus on intentionally misrepresented images of children in cages that has been ongoing for more than a decade, there is much more hiding in plain sight. While we argue over who lied and what's real, the same war agenda that's been picking up steam through the rule of Democrats and Republicans alike moves forward, ravaging the very democracy and humanitarianism it grotesquely feigns to fight for. We talk a lot about action, a lot about creating change in our own areas. Well, if any of you out there are interested in doing something more, be it writing, filming, organizing, researching, interviewing, or any way you desire to contribute, please contact me at ryan@thelastamericanvagabond.com. The information will be in the show notes below. Change is truly a mindset, one that they seek to steal from you by forcing you to believe that it does not exist, that it's not possible. What can I do? Well, if there's one thing we know for sure, it's that change is always possible until we tell ourselves that it's not. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.